All right. Well, we can jump in. We have, I think some people will join us late today.
Okay. And I wasn't able to join last week. Flu vaccines went crazy. So,
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. Everything all right?
yeah, just pretty busy and staff not showing up. So, had to
Oh,
cover. So,
I get it. I get it. Good. Well, how are you doing? Now, I mean, last we talked was kind of an intense conversation you had with someone. I imagine that's since passed and you're on to bigger fish, but just checking in, following up, seeing how you're doing.
Yeah, doing well. I was able to get to some of those PDFs now. So thank you to your team for helping out with that
Yeah.
on the site there. Made it through, I think, three quarters of the way in module two, which was some things that we talked about last time about the hard conversations and that.
What did you notice about that? What did you learn in that module?
Was a lot of that self-reflection in the moment, which we kind of talked about the last time we met as well. Just trying to slow down the conversation, and see some of those things that are happening. So that was a lot of the things that helped out with that. And I've noticed over time, looking back at since I started into management 15 years ago. Definitely a large issue when I first started. They would just go and go really fast, and I'd be like, oh, where? I don't even know what happened. And I've found over time I can slow those down a little bit, but sometimes the emotion gets involved there and trying to pull that emotion out and look with that. So actually even able to use our conversation and play that with another employee that was struggling. It was the same employee that we had talked about previously that didn't even realize she was using nicknames in certain fashions, and we'd had to
Oh
develop.
yeah, like back in our original call, that one.
And so she was probably the furthest of being that self-aware to where we were bringing a lot of this to her attention, and she's like, okay, I wasn't aware of that. But every time we talk to her, she's like, oh, I'm self-aware. I know I'm this type of person, I'm that type of person. And I'm like, okay, well, that's one level of self-awareness. So I was able to take what we talked about and reteach that to her, and open that her eyes a little bit more to that, so she has a better understanding with what that truly is.
And she was receptive to that conversation.
She was, yeah. I actually played the chunk of our recording that we'd done, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, you're getting your money's worth every time you talk to this guy if this is the information you're getting." So, if you need that as a little thing to put in for marketing, whatever, go for it.
I will. Yeah, I'll definitely use that. That's great.
They're like, yeah, you get that every time you talk to him. So, yeah, she was really receptive to that. She actually was even she grabbed a piece of paper and started taking notes as we were talking about it. And she's like, oh my gosh, this is giving me a different perception to what's going on, and opened her eyes a lot to that.
Good. Well, that's good. That's an improvement from the other person you had to deal with. So this person sounds a little less, as the word I like is ballistic, you know, when somebody's just emotionally unhinged and unable to, they're just kind of all over the place. So, okay, cool. Awesome. Well, I also want to welcome Michelle. Michelle's new to the program. Are you there, Michelle? Can you hear us? We can't see you or hear you. That's okay if that's on purpose,
Yes,
but
I can. So, well, I had a meetings bump up together, so I just finished my workout. So, hi, nice and
hi.
sweaty. And
And you're welcome to be on camera or off, whatever feels comfortable. We're fine with whatever you are, but if it's easier and you're driving, you can turn off camera and then whenever you get home, we can connect.
yeah, my husband's actually driving,
Oh,
so I
good.
knew I was
Good.
going to bump up, so he ran me. And then I'll go off until we get back to the. It's a short drive to the house, and I'll go back on when I'm in the
Awesome.
office. All right.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, so JD, is there anything else you want to check in today, or is there something on your mind, or you just want to kind of be a listening member today?
The big thing that's on my mind right now is we have reviews coming up, and I've gotten all of their self-evaluations, and then I have. And one employee that we've been trying to move, he's not a culture fit. He does the job. Well, he does a base job. However, he's a pharmacist and a manager, and he's not completing the manager part of the tasks. Hasn't since he's been in the position, so it's been almost 2.5 years. However, it's a position in a locale that we've never had a replacement for him or never been confident to move on him. And we've been trying over the last couple of years, and probably to our fault as a company, we overtry, just as I was talking about the previous employee too, that we've given her numerous chances, but a little bit of family oriented type of thing. We have put a lot of time, effort into these people, so we don't want to just send them packing if we can fix what's going on. At this point, we can't. So the conversation and that I need to have with him during the review is, we've had two reviews the past 2 years. They've both been, you're underperforming, you need improvement. And we've actually pulled tasks off of you. We have taken a lot of your management tasks and given them to someone else. We technically reduced his pay during that time frame as well. And still not doing the minimum at this point, or the basics that he's needing to do to keep this position. He would be fine as a pharmacist. I just don't have that position to move him to. I have him in a pharmacist manager position. I don't have a true manager that I could have there. I need to have a pharmacist and a manager. So I have to have that conversation with him there. He hasn't had any coachings in a while, written coachings. There are things that are lacking there for sure. And it's just building that diagram or that list of those items, which I'll put into his review. But then it's, I'm very anxious about how that whole hard conversation is going to go.
Yeah. Great.
I'm going to try to keep him on for 2 weeks after having this conversation. I do have a transition plan for a new manager at this point. But.
Okay. So I'm going to suggest, and there may be some things here that you can't do, but I'm going to ask you to, I'm just finding it now. I'm going to share my screen in a second here. So, if you haven't had a chance to look at this yet, I'm going to start the share here. Have you done any work with Module 3 yet?
I think I watched a couple of those. That was from a couple weeks prior. Okay. You picked out.
Yeah, I think we've talked a little bit about those. So one of them is, so there is a lot of really important stuff in here that I think is critical for any manager at any time. But the video 12, which is ending employment, there's a lot of important tips and tricks and recommendations. There's also a PDF download that does work now. By the way, thank you for flagging that. All of the PDFs weren't working. I don't know why, but my tech team figured it out. Anyway, so yeah, I think watch video 12 as you're prepping for that conversation. The other thing I want to suggest is, you know, if you're going to start committing feedback in writing, that's a different kind of body of knowledge around how you communicate performance issues. So like hard conversations are really difficult because it's kind of live in the moment, you're managing emotions, and you know, it's that whole like you're skiing trees on a steep and you're trying to figure out how do I pause and get turns and in the moment. A written one is much easier in one sense because you can do it from a vantage point that is non-emotional. You're non-reactive, you can plan, there's a whole lot of advantages to it. The biggest risk though to it is every word you commit to writing is amplified by 20. And so you want to be really, really careful. Whereas in a hard conversation, you can actually say things that aren't as hard because they don't live, they evaporate. And yes, there are some things you can't unsay, but you can often say, hey, I want to do over. I sense that I what I said landed in a way I didn't intend. And whereas in a written thing, you have no idea where somebody's going to take that emotionally and what that could mean and how that could spiral. And so, that is something that it might be worth at some point, if you want to hop on a coaching call, if you already have it, great. You can screen share it. Just show me what you're writing. And what I can do is I can walk you through and be like, that word isn't great. Here's why you want to use this one. What we try this, consider that. And that might really help you kind of sort through how to use that.
Okay. don't have.
It is a slightly different thing where you're doing written evaluations.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and that's probably where most of the anxiety is over what those words are going to say, because I'm going to print it out. He's going to have a copy. I'm going to have a copy, and we'll be going through it. And it's ending. Our conversation's ending, and we're giving you 2 weeks' notice that we're going to terminate your employment with us.
Okay. So let me ask a few questions about that, because I want to make sure that goes well for you guys. And again, the issue is often people assume that, like, well, they're being terminated, so why are we spending so much time? What happens is there's a ripple effect in the emotional system of the culture itself anytime there's a termination. And how you terminate directly impacts everybody else in the system, even if we don't know that happens. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm always a big fan of, like, every time you terminate, you are doing a cultural act. You are building or rebuilding or adjusting culture every time you terminate. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. You should absolutely do it. But I just want to make sure you do it well. So the first thing I'm going to suggest is, how urgent is it that this person is fired? What would happen if this person, you waited a month before you terminated them?
Not much. I mean, we've technically waited an entire year at this point.
Got it. And in that year, how many times have you kind of given the 90-day warning? Like, if these things don't change, you got about 90 days to figure it out.
I've done a few coachings that none of them have ended up into a 90-day warning yet.
Okay. So I'm going to make my recommendation. You know your system, the details of it better than I do, but I'm going to give you kind of what I think is in your interest and would help everybody, and also make it much less anxiety producing for you. And so here's how I would do it. I would sit the person down and have a written thing, just like you're going to write, and say, this is your 90-day warning. And here's what I'd like to offer you. You kind of have a choice here. You can either, you know, I want to be realistic with you that we're at a point now after a year of coaching that our confidence in your ability to change in 90 days is very low. And I'm giving you that as a flag so that you know what your chances are. And we'll give you that 90 days and maybe you can turn things around, and we'd like to see that and we'll try to support you. Alternatively, if you just feel like you don't want to do this, you feel discouraged and demoralized by this, and you're not sure you want to stick around, then what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you a month or 60 days or whatever amount feels right to you. Maybe it's 90 days in some cases, depending on the level of the job and how hard it is to find a replacement, where you say, it's so much easier for you to find a job if you resign rather than if you're terminated. We will absolutely give recommendations on these areas because we think you're very skilled in these areas, and we'd be glad to serve as a referral to you. And what we'd like to do is you can just stay on our payroll for the next 60 days. And what I'm going to ask is, in exchange for us giving you recommendations and giving you a longer landing strip, is that you would help train and onboard the new person. And again, we're not expecting you to be in full time all the time. We want you to go out looking for a new job, and anything I can do to support that, I want to help you do. That is a far more respectful way to terminate anybody. So any organization that can deal with that, that can handle that, it's so much better for the culture. And 9 times out of 10, especially if you're in like a high-skilled job, you know, you're not dealing with like a bus driver or what, you're in a high-skilled job. Most high-skilled jobs, people want that opportunity. They want to know, like, imagine if somebody came to you and said, hey, I don't think it's working, but we want to give you 90 days and we want to see if we can make it work, or you can choose not to. And here are your many options. You now feel respected. You have agency. You've got a longer, you know, kind of landing strip, and you're going to say, I don't want to burn a bridge. I'm happy to have a positive relationship with this employer instead of just getting terminated out of nowhere. So I'm going to pause there and just see how that feels to you as I say that.
That definitely does feel as a better option there, because I was going to say, this is going to feel like hitting him out of nowhere and he's going to feel blindsided. So yes, definitely anything that we can help prevent that blindsiding. he's already told us twice in our past reviews he does not want to manage. He doesn't want to be in the position he's in, but he wants a, he'd love to stay with the company. It's just we don't have that position available. So
yeah, so I mean, I feel like that is, anytime somebody is blindsided, that's on us as managers. That's 100% our fault, not theirs. And it is our responsibility to make sure nobody feels blindsided. And so if you haven't done the due diligence to get there, do the due diligence. It's better for the culture. It's better for him. And what you just flagged for me is even better. That's an even easier conversation. You can say, hey, you've told me multiple times you don't want to manage. I totally respect that and get that. What we've discovered is management isn't your thing. We now know that. And I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how to get you a role that you do want. Candidly, we just don't have that role. So here's what I'd like to propose. We're going to give you X amount of time. You can either attempt to become a manager if you love that, or we can support you as you look for work, and we'll give you a longer runway because we appreciate all your service and all that stuff. You know, that's the bottom line. I mean, I there are so many companies, and I've been in these meetings where it's completely unnecessary, the trauma that we inflict on employees who really have given a lot of themselves, you know? And so anyway.
Okay. No, that definitely helps. And I think we can make that happen because I told him I was looking for a position for him. I offered him a floating position. He's like, right now I don't want to do that. I said, okay. I probably should have had that conversation at the time of, okay, hey, this is your only out right now. So it's either this or it's that.
The best thing you can do for someone you are terminating is to give genuine choice. When you give choice to someone, they're given dignity and agency. And so even if it's small choices, but like there, that's another choice. You've now got three options. You can work really hard to become a manager. You can start looking for another job, or you can take the floater role. Those are your three choices. Which one do you want? And he's like, I don't like any of those. You're like, well, then we're going with option, you know, B, because we can't just have this. So if you want to give the choice back to me, I'll make that choice for you, but I'd like to give you the choice first. Mm-hmm. Okay. Super respectful. People will thank you. It's a game changer. And more than anything, it makes the conversation easier for you. You still want to watch that training. It's going to reinforce some of the stuff we talked about. It's going to give a few other suggestions that will help you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
How is how's everything going with the guy who's the family member, the heir to the throne, so to speak?
So his uncle has, mostly because of my time in trying to manage a store now that's transitioning with a manager there, as well as he's there more. They're both there in the same location where I'm floating around a little bit more. His uncle has taken ownership of meeting with him and the other employees there at the store to help push that along. But he feels that he's hit him over the head a couple times. He's getting frustrated with it, and the employees or the heir still not performing.
So. Okay. So, I mean, same thing here. I would take everything that I'm talking about now and start a conversation with the uncle about options, because you would want to treat him with the same dignity anybody else. And so, if that person is not on a 90-day PIP, that's a failure on the part of the organization. So I think you should begin the conversation with the uncle to say, hey, look, sounds like you're having a hard time. I've had a hard time. None of us are being successful at this. We either need to demote him and give him more time to mature, or we need to put him in a different thing, or, you know, who knows what, right? But start that conversation now.
Okay. And I think I'm probably quicker to act on that than his uncle is because of it being family. But yeah, definitely the 90-day PIP needs to be put in place and roll forward with that so that he has specifics of what needs to happen. So,
yeah, I mean, and the uncle undoubtedly is going to have a hard time with this, and that's fair. I think the I think just respecting that too, even having that conversation with the uncle and saying, hey, look, I'm here to support whatever you guys think is best. If he weren't a family member, this is what I would do. I understand he is a family member. And so I want to work with you on this. How can I help you to preserve that relationship? Because that's going to be really important. And one of the ways that I think we can preserve the relationship is continue to respect him, treat him candidly and honestly and openly, make sure he's not blind to anything, give him a nice long lead time to kind of get adjusted to his reality, give him optionality, make sure he has choice in this. Within limits, you know, there are certain things he won't get to choose, but let's create some choices for him. And so you can kind of coach the uncle mm-hmm. in how to do that. And you do that in the context of, I want to preserve this relationship for you. That's one of the priorities in what we're doing here. Yeah, let's respect what the organization needs, but let's preserve this relationship. And I think here are some ways to do that.
Yeah, thanks for asking on that. I really almost want to get him into the hard conversations and have him watch those modules as well, because if he's in the same spot I was early on, we didn't know how beneficial they are. And that's what his uncle's trying to tell him, because he's learned the same thing over 30 plus years of business. And that's, don't shy away from these conversations, just go at them and have them and work through that. I mean, I've tried to get him the Crucial Conversation book and give that to him, because that turned things around for me and having those. So.
Yep. Yep. Good. Awesome. Okay. Let's just check in with Michelle again. Michelle, how you doing? Anything you want to talk about? Are you in a spot where you can talk, or do you want me to keep going with JD, or we can?
No. So I am back at the house. Thank you so much. I'm actually just taking it all in right now. Okay. I'm kind of in the same, well, really not in the same position, but in being in that family type of business, the new role I took on is a smaller, professional employer organization. We want to grow, but we really don't want to grow, because that means we have to change, right? We've been this small local mom and pop type payroll outsourcing company. We want to grow, but, find it difficult in the change piece of the puzzle. So, I mean, I'm even struggling with, you know, simple things like, so part of me coming on, I was giving a 20-point goal list to achieve basically over the next year, right? It's not, I have to do this in the quarter, it's over the next year. So as I've tried to do my low-hanging fruit thing that I could, really tackle and have some, not so much immediate success, but really just, you know, have a initial impact in the first quarter, has been met with resistance. And it's just been a little frustrating where okay. So the one thing I have to learn is how to have better grace under pressure is what I call it. So when you're in that heat of the moment and I can be very passionate in my delivery. So that, yeah. I'm not trying to be, you'll even see as I talk, like I talk with my hands, my tone will change. And it's not that I'm trying to be mean or aggressive. It's just, I'm very passionate about what I do. And that comes across sometimes in the wrong manner.
Okay.
So that's where I find myself. So that happened the other day with the owners, one of the owners, which is who I report to directly. And, basically he's being my roadblock, and that's what I was voicing. So anyways,
okay.
That's my story.
Awesome. So there's a bunch of things that I want to make sure you get into before you get too far in this role, because this is a critical moment in time for you. First thing I'm going to observe about you is just for self-awareness, right? So a huge part of great leadership and management is self-awareness, developing an awareness of who we are, how we experience life, how we come off, how others experience us. You are very likely what we call a high bandwidth person. High bandwidth refers to both capacity, meaning you have large capacity, an ability to kind of do many, many things all at once. But you're also high bandwidth probably in how people experience the emotional intensity. So what that means is when on an emotional scale of, you know, 0 to -10 for negative emotions and 0 to +10 for positive emotions, when you're at a -2 or -3, you experience it as 2 or 3, which is like mild irritation. Others who are not high bandwidth people could experience that as a 7 or 8. Their 10 is your 5, you know, like their -10, the way that they express and experience that is just different. And so knowing that about yourself, you'll realize that your whisper is a shout. And it sounds like you've had that feedback. And so I just want you to know that that's not because you're not a good person or you're not doing it right. It's just who you are. There are just some people in the world that are like nuclear power plants and they can churn and generate and do a lot. But as a consequence, you don't get to be a nuclear power plant with that level of kind of power generation and not come off as overbearing sometimes. And so just be really aware that the first step to this work is to just notice when you're feeling an intensity, when you're like, that's a roadblock and I need to push through that. Ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, what's my intensity level? And if it's anything over a 5, don't have that conversation. Get yourself down to a 3 before you talk to anybody about it, because your 5 is most likely going to be experienced as a 10. Whereas for you, you're like, well, I was just saying, we need to get this done. Why aren't we doing this? But for them, they're going to be like, whoa. Okay. Make sense? Okay. So
100%.
Good. Okay. There are a couple of modules that I need you to watch.
Okay.
I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to show you these. Okay. Bonus one is under bonuses, first bonus, first 90-day success plan.
Already printed.
What's that?
I said already printed in my hand.
Good.
Even though I like, things electronically, I also like to hold them and make notes. So
excellent. So make sure you read through that. It's going to give you all the bullet points and high points, but it's also probably worth watching the videos because there's things in the videos mm-hmm. that are not written that'll give you just a little bit more context. And you know, you can play them back at high speed if you want, you know, to get through it quicker. But there's just a lot of important stuff in there for context setting, because here's the area that you're going to need the most help with: aligning expectations. Everything about what you're doing now is aligning expectations with your boss. And expectations alignment, you need to know, is rife with misunderstanding. It's just the way that it's made in the world. And so here's how the way this typically works. You have an interview, and in the interview, they're like, we really want to do X, Y, and Z. And you're like, oh my gosh, X, Y, and Z is exactly what I'm good at. I know exactly how to do that. I'm going to come in and do X, Y, Z. And then you get in and you notice that they don't really seem to want X, Y, and Z. And you thought that, and you had this kind of, what's going on? Why are you not wanting to do X, Y, and Z? And the reason is because when they said X, they didn't mean your X, they have a different X. And when they said Y, they didn't mean Y now, they meant Y in 2 years from now. And when they said Z, they didn't even know what you were talking about. And that's normal. That's totally normal. So whatever things you thought, you should expect that they may not be what they thought. And so in that training, we talk about how do you get your expectations in alignment? And the way you do it is through a series of conversations marked by misunderstanding. And so what this does is it lowers your frustration level, because you know going in, I expect for this to be a misunderstanding. And I expect to be misunderstood again and to misunderstand you. And that's why it's my responsibility to ensure that I am understood and you are understood. It's not your boss's responsibility, it's yours. And your job is to just keep coming and going, I need to test an expectation and just make sure we're on the same page. And that when I say this word, it means the same thing to you. Can we just have that conversation? Your job is to continually do that for the first 90 days at least, because you're going to see the needle move, and you shouldn't take it personally at all. They weren't lying to you. They literally just didn't mean the same thing you meant. And that's going to de-escalate your intensity, which is for you a critical ingredient of success. Because if people experience you as a bull in a china shop, it's going to reduce your credibility.
Right. Agreed. Okay. Agreed.
Thoughts, feedback on any of that before we go to the next thing?
No, I'm 100%. It's exactly what I've been experiencing. Not so much that it's diminished my credibility, but
it's probably too early.
I think it's hindered my progress.
Yes.
Because I need to get over that hurdle first to move forward. And, you know, I need to learn that patience and everything that you just talked about. So
the other thing that you're going to do is you're going to develop in that first 90-day success plan, you're going to develop prioritization of tasks, and you're going to get confirmation and reconfirmation of those priorities. And there's three different tools you use to map. One is called the STARS model, which is in the 90-day training.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that. I assume you have kind of a rough, do you want me to highlight what that is? Or do you feel like you already know what that is?
No, please go ahead. And I've heard it before, but I'm perfectly fine with the review.
Okay. So STARS, and anybody can do this at any time, but it's identical. It's ideal to do at the beginning. STARS refers to an acronym that just asks the question, in what part of the business that you're working, do you need something to be started up new? Some new thing that has to be created. That's S. T is there any part that needs to be turned around? Is there any part that is failing and morale is down and people are frustrated and you need to turn it around? A is, I think it's accelerated growth, which is, are you scaling super fast in some part? R is realignment, which is everyone's in denial and you're having to convince them that what they think is going well, you know, isn't. And then the final S is sustaining growth, which is the easiest. So that's what STARS refers to. And the reason that's so important is if you use the wrong intervention for the wrong part of the business, you will lose credibility and get huge pushback. So for example, if you know it's turnaround, the emotion that you are having to cure is despair. Not yours, but theirs. When the wheels are falling off, people are in despair. And the best thing you can do is act fast. Go in, make big changes, wrecking ball, fire, hire, whatever you need to do. People are going to be like, oh, okay, somebody's saving us. You know, everything was falling apart and somebody's saving us. If you do that same thing in a realignment situation, you will not last long. Because realignment, the dominant emotion, is denial, not despair. And you're having to gently, over time, help them come to terms with reality. So you're gently moving them, you're moving much slower, you're having way more conversation. So that's one tool and model that I want you to look at. The next two you will find in module 5, that you might even already know them, but I explain how to use them well. And that is either the, what is it, easy impact matrix or the important urgent matrix. Do you know those two?
No, I haven't seen those yet.
Okay. So if you go to module 5, you'll see those two things. I can find the videos if that's helpful, but so what that does is after you've mapped some things on your STARS model and you kind of know like, okay, I really only have like realignment. Like there's a lot of denial and people don't realize, okay, good. Now I know that's my pacing. That helps me set pacing. That's kind of the emotional stuff. Then what you can do is you can say you got 20 tasks, you know, 20 things you've been given over the course of a year. You get to map those on one of two charts. One is a matrix, 4x4 matrix, that says how easy the task is and how much impact the task has. So when something is very easy to implement and really high impact, do that first. That ends up in this first quadrant. When something is really easy to implement and has almost no impact, that's like third. You do that third. When something is hard to implement, very impactful, you might do that second, right? So you've got kind of, you start, and then if there's really easy to implement and no impact, forget it, punt it. Just don't take it off the list. So that's one matrix. Then you do another one, which is urgent and important. And you'll actually get slightly different results, which also says how urgent is something and how important is it. So you might have something that's super important, but just not that urgent. You're going to put that down the list. So when you do these three different methods, you're going to get a nice map for the order, the sequence, and the priority that you think things should be done in. Then you go to your boss and you say, here's how I got here. Here's what I think needs to happen. What do you think? And then you use that to set the expectation. And then you confirm that later. You know, you're like, hey, just want to make sure we're still on track. Do you still agree with this? Is that, did we understand each other still? Because I'm just working through the punch list. And if you're getting tons of resistance, you go, hey, no problem. Let me just make sure this was our agreement. Did I understand that properly? Do you want me to keep doing that, or do you want me to make an adjustment? So that those are kind of the homework. And I'm going to give you one last piece of homework. And I'm sorry I'm putting so much on you, but this is just a critical time for you. So I want to make sure that you take advantage of this. And the last one is bonus. Let's see, bonus five. Yes, bonus five. Super important. Video, the last video in the first 90-day success plan and all of bonus five, which is how to manage up and across. All of these videos are going to be super helpful for you in understanding how to become an expert at getting your boss to do what you want them to do while building your credibility and not ever seeming like a no person. Like you're going to create a really harmonious relationship instead of a combative one. And that's going to boost your credibility. And they're going to want you in the room more. They're going to want to talk to you more about what they should be doing. And they're going to be looking to you as a critical advisor in big decisions once you've established this rapport and this way of working and managing up. And there are just some things that are super counterintuitive in that training that I want you to get familiar with. So I'm going to pause there. Thoughts and feelings after everything I just took you through. That's a lot.
No, thank you. 100% appreciate the guidance, because you're right. I am in a very critical point here. This role is just not taking on a new role, but it's also taking on growth potential in my career. This, you know, assuming I pull everything off, I'm headed to to a COO role, which is an item I've been working for, right? So there's many different things at stake here. So all of this is awesome. And so thank you. I'm excited. It's not, all I have is excitement right now, because I think this helps me fine tune me as a leader, right? Yeah. You know, I've told individuals, I got the operations down. I can do operations in my sleep. It is this fine tuning of my communication that and working through these areas that I need assistance with.
And I'm just going to say what I say pretty much every call, because it bears repeating. And I like to remind people of this. The higher you get in the organization, the less your job is operations and the more your job is managing the complex emotional system.
Exactly.
And every tool I'm giving you are the levers to manage the emotional system. And very few people teach that. Very few people understand that. You become an invaluable player that people will want to promote up the chain. That's the difference maker between amazing managers and leaders and those that are really average. They're like awesome operators, but they have no idea how to manage the emotional system.
I can attest to that from being in those situations with other men that you thought, oh, great, these are going to be great leaders. And then, yeah, they really weren't because of what you just said. Right. So I couldn't agree more. And there is a lot of emotion in outside of change, but there's, you know, we've had people come in the past and be that bull, you know, that bull in a china shop, so to speak. So there's a lot of, there's angst towards me coming in simply because of what they've experienced in the past. Right. And there's, oh, you're coming to make change. And so there's already this preset emotional wind going on, you know, that, that I'm trying to work through. So yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm very appreciative of all of this.
Absolutely. Good. Well, I'm excited for you because I just think there's a bunch of little things that you're going to pick up super fast. And once you see them and know them, that's the great thing about high octane, high bandwidth people. They're as long as they're humble enough to be taught, they just change faster than the average bear. Like the people like you that I coach, I notice that they're just like, oh, okay, that instead of that, done. And all of a sudden they're just like, it all changes. There are other people that just take a long time that kind of keep coming back to me to talk about the same things. They just have a hard time with internal change. And honestly, it's a personality thing. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just some personalities. My personality is slower. I have a slower, like, okay, I'll figure this out. I got to do it 10 times. Yours is a fast personality. It'll just go quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, but just, you know, just the simple emotion as you're talking through the stars, right? We're really in realignment and understand that's the difference between denial and despair. There's actually a blend of probably realignment and turnaround going on.
Which is right? Great. And again, what determines whether something is turnaround or realignment isn't what you think it is. It's what mm-hmm. the dominant emotion is.
Right.
So you might go, this is clearly turnaround. It's a complete mess and we've got to change it. But if nobody else sees that, you're in
right. realignment. Right. So I'm like, well, that makes sense. It's just like aha moment kind of speak. Right. Oh, okay. So as I'm dealing with, you know, me, like you said, I see turnaround, right? I need to fix. Now that's really not the case.
Yep.
So.
Yep. That's right.
Cool.
Thank you. Okay. So I feel like you have no shortage of homework. You feel like you can get that done? Oh, you're muted, I think.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Cannot wait. Most definitely. I started, like, cause I already printed off the 90 day. I did get in there, yesterday. And, I was like, I'm going to do this 90 day success plan. And, so perfect. I already started.
Awesome. I love how you're engaging this. I think you're going to be incredibly successful. You're taking it on and you're doing great work. So keep at it and we'll check in here. We can come back to you in a minute. I'll let you kind of let some of that settle. I'm just going to go to JD again, since some of the other people that are supposed to join us, they may not join us today. They said they were going to be late, but they may not be able to make it. JD, anything else you want to interact with, either what we were just talking about or anything else for you that you want to talk about?
A lot of what you guys were covering, I was seeing for that kind of problem employee that I initially started talking about when we did our first call and that we kind of hit on a little bit today, but seeing that some of those things I could possibly give to her to do that because she's pretty fast with that and she's struggling and interacting with upper management and things like that too. So I think that could definitely help her there.
Awesome. Okay. Other things you guys want to talk about or explore? Otherwise we, you know, I got time, but, if you both feel kind of complete, like you got what you needed, then we can close out the call and go on our merry ways.
For myself, I'm good. I'm happy to hang out, but I can start my homework.
Yeah. Okay.
And is there anything on time management that you guys have as well? Just you're saying as we move up, and that's where I'm trying to get to, but right now it's still very much running the day-to-day, but there being in operations and trying to do management at the same time and manage those emotions and the people. I mean, I was literally doing a flu vaccination clinic this morning and trying to manage employees that were struggling with things at the store level or what was happening. And I'm sitting there trying to put needles in arms and still trying to take care of the people back at the home.
Absolutely. Center. Absolutely. Yeah. And you might be in like a temporary situation where, you know, staffing or whatever, and you know, you got to staff up, and there's going to be kind of like a first question you have to ask is, are you in a chronic condition of living like that? Or are you feeling like it's just an ebb and flow and it's not always like this?
It feels chronic. to answer the question initially, it's more probably of a roller coaster type. If I would look at it, I have time where, like right now, everyone at my office makes fun of me because they see me once a month because they're like, oh, hey, the new guy's here today. Because because I'm somewhere else all the rest of the time, which some of my position is to be elsewhere, but I'm almost elsewhere in operations all the 25 other days of the month. I just get maybe a half a day or an hour to pull out for that.
Okay. So I'm going to make a few observations and suggestions. And by the way, Michelle, you feel free. There's crosstalk in this too. So if there's something that you want to add, feel free. I think there's group wisdom always, but I'm going to make a few observations. One of them is, if you think it's chronic, then it's time for you to sit down and ask a few questions and map out how you spend your time. And what I would do is this, I would say, you want to find those tasks that are what I would call $5 an hour tasks. Okay. Then you want to find those tasks that are $50 an hour tasks. Then you want to find those tasks that are $300 an hour. And then I don't know, maybe there's $1,000 an hour tasks. I have no idea. But what you're doing is you're just going, what of those tasks am I doing that are below $50 an hour? And if you're doing a lot of those tasks, you really shouldn't be. You are doing a disservice to the organization if you're doing those tasks. Mm-hmm. You're responsible for doing those $300 to $1,000 an hour tasks that only you can do, either by virtue of your skill or by virtue of your access to information or by virtue of your vantage point. But you know, when you're in management, like a CEO, they should be doing only $50,000 an hour work, you know, like looking 5 years out and everything else. And if they aren't, they're no longer a business owner. They're just an employee. They found a job in their own company. That's a problem. Same is true with kind of middle management. It's really easy in middle management to kind of get stuck and keep getting dragged down into those things. So the first thing is just to map your own time and start to look at and go, what am I stuck in doing that I know is a $10 an hour job or a $20 an hour job that is below my pay grade?
Yeah.
And after you identify those things, get really systematic about how you're going to get those off your plate.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Another thing you might realize is you have hired, you know, a bunch of pharmacists who you are then putting in the job of management. And now you're realizing these people don't know how to operate because operations and management is as much a body of knowledge and skill as being a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that you have to learn, know, and understand, and even want to do. You know, so most of these people became pharmacists because they love pharmacology and they love medical things and biology and the study of and they're not loving being human managers, you know. So this happens a lot with accountants, engineers, sometimes doctors even. When you have a high-skilled job and then you promote them because they're so good at that job, you kind of promote them into this other thing, they're no longer that. And so what they need is specialized training. So whether that's, you know, you need to invest time or whether you need to ask for more money to do trainings like this for the next level down so that they're learning, or books you need to buy, or whatever it is, or like weekly trainings that you're going to run. It doesn't matter. But at some point, you might realize actually, a lot of the stuff I'm doing is like helping pharmacists manage, and they don't know what they're doing or how they're doing it, and that's taken all my time away. Mm-hmm. Then the solution is training. You've got to train them the same way you would me if I wanted to become a pharmacist. You'd be like, nope, you got to go to school. And so there's kind of an element of like, you want to be a manager? We require you go through this management training. And so it's a fundamental requirement for you to get this job. And so propose that to your bosses, that you just go, look, I'm not being effective for you. I could be way more effective for you if we could leverage my time. The way that I know we can do that is I mapped my time and here's what I need. And whether that's you need another assistant, or if that's you need to invest in training for people or whatever it is, but it's your job to get proactive and pitch that up above to get the support you need. Comments or questions about that, and then I'll ask Michelle if she has anything she'd like to add around time management stuff.
It reminded me of something I went into probably a year or so ago, and is when I was really struggling with this, and they talked about dealing with the having the effect on the comma and not the decimal place. And so going with that number analogy definitely goes with that and helps remind
same,
me.
Same idea.
Got to take care of the comma and make those decisions that are dealing with the commas and or two commas or whatever that are in that and not worry about the decimal place. I've got other people that worry about the decimal place and take care of that.
Great. And then, like I said, if you feel like after you've gotten into this training and you're getting the value and you want to try to get people access to that, I do licenses that are for a larger number of people. So the costing is a little bit different when I'm not getting on the phone with each individual, I can save you some costs. So if you get to the point where you're like, that's actually what we need, is I need more training like this for them, let me know and we can talk about how to get you access to that and what the costing would be and all that stuff.
Okay.
Michelle, any thoughts you want to add for JD, or you feel like I covered it?
No, you covered it. Plus, you were very helpful for me because you're right, we get very sucked into those lower level, I don't want that sounds terrible, to those operational
right.
tasks, right? It's not that we're trying to put ourselves above them, but we're unable to do our job because we're busy doing those jobs and we're working harder, not smarter. So I'm right there with you. So the whole thing helped me too.
So I think it is important for you to understand when a job is beneath you. I don't mean beneath you like you're better than people. I'm literally saying you were hired and paid to do a job that you're not doing because you're busy doing other jobs that are beneath you. And they have lower paid people doing lower paid jobs because you have been determined to be the one who can do this. And that's true as anyone gets higher and higher. There's just, you got to get really good at going, that isn't my job. And I'm not right. serving the organization well if I do that job, even if I can do it better than you. So the other thing that I would just add to that is if you also find it's difficult to delegate sometimes, get really good at remembering that 90% is still an A. So even if you could do the job at 99% or 100% and the person below you is doing that at 90%, that's still an A. Just get good at going, is that 90%? It is, close enough. Keep going. I don't need to dip down into that unless it gets into like 85, 80%. Then I gotta figure it out. But if you're at a 90%, you're winning. And yeah, I can optimize it and I can do it faster and I can do it a little bit better, but now we're in decimal points.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Good. Other questions?
No, I may have to circle back to that because that's going to, I mean, for me, that plays into that whole managing across and up with, because there is an expectation, or there always seems to be an expectation from your managers that you're in those trenches at the same time. And so I have to, let me do my homework first and I'll have to come back to you on that.
Yeah, that's great. Good. Awesome. What else do you guys want to talk about?
I'm good at this point, Shane.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I think we got a lot accomplished in a short period of time, and that's awesome. So thank you both. And I'm going to hop off, and people who came late will miss it, I think. So that's all right.
Okay.
Awesome. Pleasure talking to you guys. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right. Bye.